Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. August 18, 2021. My new article on LinkedIn, "The Soil Does Not Want Us Here." Over the past 3 days, there has been a massive forest fire, in Israeli proportions, raging in the hills around Jerusalem. The fire is already the largest in recent decades, and perhaps the largest since the establishment of the State of Israel. There are rumors as to how this fire started, but there is only one reason that it got so big: the soil does not want us here. If we do what we must do in the land of Israel, we will receive a different treatment from the land as well. Otherwise, it will reject us and eject us. It is summer, and summertime is fire time. This summer, there have been unprecedented fires all over the world. However, while fires across the world happen mostly naturally, most of the fires that erupt in Israel are the result of arson perpetrated by our enemies. Nevertheless, not every arson becomes such a major forest fire as this one. It is no coincidence, the ground itself is telling us to leave. We have worn out our welcome. We came here, specifically to this land, the land of Israel, to be the people of Israel, the people who wear the motto "Love your neighbor as yourself" as a crown over their heads. The world supported our coming here. It voted in favor of our coming here on November 29, 1947. If the vote were held today, no one would vote in our favor. We have exhausted the world's support through our insistence on internal bickering instead of forming a united nation that sets an example of bridging differences with love. Instead of living out our legacy, we have become an example of the opposite. This is why the world has turned against us. Now, the land itself has also turned its back on us. It will make our lives here progressively unbearable. Our neighbors, too, will haunt us, with the world's support, and we will feel that we have nowhere else to turn but to each other. We need not wait for matters to become so dire. Where they are always felt, that unity will carry us through anything. This is why we have always united when war broke out and our enemies sought to push us out to sea. Now that our daily lives are becoming warlike, we must continue to employ this tactic or our lives will become a losing battle. We needn't come to it. If we use crises as springboards to enhance our unity, we will see that this is why they happen in the first place. Israel is always at the center of the world's attention. If we unite in the face of hardship, the world, too, will unite in the face of hardship. If the world unites in the face of hardship, it will overcome anything and people's lives will be peaceful and meaningful. Then, the world will know that it was right in placing us together in our land, that we have earned the right to be here. Then, too, the soil will welcome us, come our its long-lost children who have been away for centuries due to their own division. My new article on LinkedIn: "We can't uproot hatred for us unless we uproot it from within us." Just recently, the semi-official Iranian outlet Tasnim News Agency reported that Hossein Salami, commander-in-chief of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, stated that Iran is confident that the decline and collapse of the Zionist regime is beyond a wish and is a reality that could happen in the near future. With this statement, Iran is trying to boost its own, as well as its Palestinian proxies' spirits after the latest military campaign in Gaza. But such announcements do not reflect strength but rather weakness. However, military might is not what this post is about, but rather the intense hatred that Iran exhibits toward Israel and what Israel can do about it. In truth, we have tried most everything we can to appease the Palestinians and the rest of the Arab world, but nothing is working. In fact, experience shows that whenever we give our enemies what they demand, they add contempt to their abhorrence rather than become more peaceful and friendly. We should already know that we will uproot the hatred in our enemies' hearts only when we uproot the hatred from our own hearts. That is, because we hate each other, our enemies hate us. This has been the case with the Jewish people since its inception, and it will never change. As long as we keep hating one another, the world's hatred toward us will not diminish. The decline and collapse that Salami talked about are not only weakening us from within, they are fueling his and everybody else's hatred toward us. It is a social collapse, not a physical or an economic one. It expresses the collapse of our cohesion and solidarity, our sense that we are one nation that is bounded by mutual responsibility among its members. Our sages wrote that when we feel alienation from each other, the world attacks us, and when we unite, no harm comes to us. For instance, the book Shemishmuel states, when unity restores Israel as before, Satan will have no place in which to place error and external forces. When they are as one man with one heart, they are as a fortified wall against the forces of evil. But our vocation is not only to unite, but to set an example of unity for all the nations. This is why whenever we quarrel among ourselves, even if only verbally, the nations punish us. The Talmud, Yoma 9b, explains that Nebuchadnezzar conquered Israel and destroyed the first temple because the people of Israel spoke to one another with daggers in their tongues. But when the people of Israel display unity, everyone wants to learn from them how to unite. Accordingly, the book Sifrei Devarim writes that in the days of the Second Temple, during the three festive pilgrimages, Gentiles would go up to Jerusalem and see Israel. And say, it is becoming to cling only to this nation. Once again, we see that our own division, our social decay, is our only problem. If we return to the motto of our nation, love your neighbor as yourself, by simply trying to implement it, we will dissolve all the hatred toward us. As long as we are obstinate and regard being right as more important than being together, we will have no future in the land of Israel or anywhere else in the world. Should one be afraid of mistakes on the spiritual path? Question: should one be afraid of mistakes on the spiritual path? Answer: if a person goes purely by the call of his heart, namely in accordance with his point in the heart, without considering any advice from well-wishers, then he will not be mistaken. Let him not listen to anyone, just go ahead. Question: are there any mistakes on the spiritual path at all? Answer: no. Then the person will see it. He can twist somewhere, somehow, and even seem to be wrong, but this is also part of his life path. All the so-called errors are written in it in advance. A person learns from them. Question: should he build a framework around himself that would protect him? Or go only forward, no matter what? Answer: I think we should just go ahead. But I emphasize that we are talking about a person who has found out for himself that he is interested in Kabbalah. He takes our courses, reads primary sources, and, in accordance with this, chooses where it is better for him, which is more convenient, what is closer, etc. Question: does a person on the spiritual path need to be able to say no to himself and those around him? Answer: I would not ask myself such questions. I just want to achieve the goal. Everything. Therefore, I do not take any vows in advance. From CabTV's Kabbalah Express, July 19, 2021. Why do we need people? Question: what will happen when technology makes a large number of people unnecessary? They will not be needed. Not because they are bad or unsuccessful in any way, but because advanced technologies are said, like all businesses, to reduce costs. The main costs today are people, because a business owner needs to pay them salaries, take care of them, provide them with medical insurance, and so on. Therefore, the current economy is aimed at ensuring that work is done by machines and not people. Answer: I can only say one thing: progress, oddly enough, has really led to the fact that nobody needs people. Nobody at all. Neither the mighty bunch that is at the top nor managers who live only for themselves and the rest work for them. The question arises, why do we need people at all? The fact is that people are absolutely not needed for supporting the economy, feeding themselves, or even feeding others. They are needed to perform a completely different task, to reveal nature, to unfold its second part. Apart from the egoistic property of reception with which we were born and lives and develops in us, we must reveal the reverse side of nature, the altruistic one. Then both qualities will complement each other. Not destroying, like nuclear weapons, for example, but complementing. Then we will see a completely different nature, a different world, and will discover and understand what the purpose of our existence is. We will see that all people are needed. Nature is perfect and absolutely complete. There is nothing superfluous in it. We must come to a state when our complementing each other will bring us to such an understanding of nature that the world will seem eternal, perfect, infinite, great, and accommodating absolutely everyone as its uppermost, magnificent, wonderful part, and not the way we now seem to be existing only in the one egoistic property of nature. We must definitely reveal its second part, and then we will see how perfect everything is. From CabTV's Algorithms Instead of People, August 4, 2021. Michael Leitman, on Quora, how can we create a balance between the preservation of local cultures and the development of a global community? We can create a balance between the preservation of local cultures and the development of a global community on condition that we treat each other according to the law of love your neighbor as yourself, that is with mutual love, when we feel other people as cells feel other cells in the organism to which they belong. Each cell helps the others, and is obligated to support and complement the body's other cells. This is how we need to treat each other. It is also what nature demands of us. We belong to a single village, one humanity and one species, so in essence, we belong to a single organism. If we start relating to each other as such, then we will develop optimally, in the form and speed that is suitable for us. By doing so, we will achieve balance between different cultures and humanity as a whole. We will each then be able to add something of ourselves to the community. Based on a Q&A with Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman on September 9, 2006. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. How to Feel the Creator, Part 7. Creating Contact Between Two Worlds. This law is called the body of the mind and its image, and is a part of the Creator. Michael Leitman, I will know the Creator from within myself, a modification of Balhar Sulam's from my flesh I shall see God. Everything that we attain in spirituality is a part of the Creator, the power of bestowal and love, as well as the power of getting outside of ourselves. Therefore, we ourselves must be attuned only to bestowal, to love, and to interaction with others. To this extent, we will begin to feel the power of the Creator, the positive force that surrounds us. Our world and any phenomenon inside it consist of a plus and a minus, of positive and negative manifestations. In our world, we are created within a negative, egoistic force. Everyone grabs everything for himself and cares whether the other person gets more than him, if so he feels bad. This is our clear correlation with all objects in our world. The spiritual world is built on the opposite property, bestowal, where any spiritual property is evaluated precisely in the measure of giving out of oneself, emanation. Therefore, these two worlds are opposite, they do not communicate with each other and there is no connection between them. The connection is manifested only in a person who, being between both worlds, can collect the plus and the minus in himself, meaning his negative egoistic and positive spiritual altruistic properties. And he himself is a load, resistance, to which the plus and the minus are connected. In this case, he connects the lower world with the upper world and the Creator with all other earthly beings and with earthly nature. It all depends on how we perceive the positive properties of the upper world and the negative properties of our world and create a contact between them. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, June 23, 2019. The only motion is toward unity. We need to constantly pay attention to dissents. We must not delve into them and weep, but we should regard them in a more serious, controlled manner, understand them, and be grateful to the Creator for having revealed them to us, by His light. In fact, these are not dissents, but the revelation of the next corruption that I am given and thus enables to correct the general vessel. In this state, it is clear to me that I must connect to my friends. This is the state each of us is enduring, the revelation of our individual states and the common states in which we feel descents, ascents, and different leaps, and correct them together. As we feel the individual descents or the general common ones, we need to immediately yearn to connect to the center of the ten and try to hold on to each other. It is only by greater consolidation between us that we can correct these descents, this darkness, and these misunderstandings. All the states are corrected by one single motion toward unity and not in any other way. There can be all kinds of states of inconsistency and lack of coordination, discomfort, quarrels, misunderstandings, distance from each other, individual states, or common states, but none of them matter. These states result from the fact that we are not united enough, and we can correct them only by our common unity. The moment we yearn for and turn to unity, we should immediately ask the Creator to glue us together, because we will not be able to unite without Him. We do not have any other glue that can keep us together. First, we need to restrict each one's own egoism so that we will not use it, and then we need to acquire a mass arc screen above each one's egoism, and the reflected light that is aimed at each other and then at the Creator. We need to receive all that from above. The Creator reveals the next level of our shattering inside us, and He is also the one who has to correct it. We need to clearly attribute this to Him only. Just as we take a broken object to a place where it can be fixed, this is what our work comes down to determine who is the expert that can do it. The Creator wants us to acknowledge Him as a craftsman and a great expert. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, February 12, 2019. Why are sick children born? Comment: from a letter to you, I have a child with Down syndrome. Please tell us, how does Kabbalah treat such people? In modern medicine, this is a mistake of nature. But the Creator does not make mistakes. My response: no, the Creator does not make mistakes, and this is, of course, natural. We cannot determine the cause of this pattern. But in general, it is natural, and we must accept it not as a mistake, but as the correct action of the Creator and try not to disappoint Him in this. What we get from such a patient in our close circle is for us to take care of him, help him, and make sure that this child does not feel defective. Question: is this especially given by the Creator? Answer: yes. Question: is it more for the parents and for others than for the child? Answer: of course. This is a correction of the soul. From Cab TV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, July 1, 2021. Remove your shoe. Prophets, Joshua 5:13. And the captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, remove your shoe from your foot, for the place upon which you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. Question: why take off your shoes? Answer: shoes are what separates a person from the earth, which symbolizes desire. All one's desires should be uncovered to analyze, separate, sort, and correct them. By taking your shoes off, you begin to come into contact with the next egoistic level and can begin to correct it. This is a constant, never-ceasing work. Comment: It would seem that once he enters the land of Israel, he is there. My response: there is no such thing as he is there. Every moment consists of many spiritual operations. From CapTV's Secrets of the Eternal Book, July 5, 2021. There is no point in working. Comment: I recently read an article that quotes people's letters. I do not want to work anymore, a large number of people categorically declare. People are making comments like, COVID has opened my eyes, I no longer want to get up every morning, get in the car, type in my password and answer emails. I cannot take it anymore. I just want to enjoy life while I am healthy and full of energy. I want to see my friends, travel, read, and take care of my garden. Luckily, I can afford it financially. People are beginning to think that there is no point in working hard. My response: there is no point in working at all. Question: provided you can get the necessities? Answer: no more than this. To live in this way. Why do you want more? No need to litter the earth. Question: what will people come to as a result? Answer: to the fact that they will begin to arrange the world so that they work less. There is no need for this. They will be engaged in self-education via the internet inevitably. Question: do you think that this request, I want to rest, will turn into self-education? Answer: yes. In order to fill yourself and your environment. That is, they will fill the influence on themselves with greater meaning. Question: does it mean that this request, let me live peacefully and relax, one way or another, will turn into the search for some kind of fulfillment? Answer: yes. This is exactly to live and relax. Only I want to understand why I live, why I rest, what I need to do with myself, how I can achieve greater saturation, fulfillment, and connect with the world around me in a more peaceful way. Question: do you think that this is correct? Answer: yes. Why should I work hard to make a living? I have enough for bread. Humanity should not work so hard. All this is excessive and only pollutes the earth. Question: what will we come to as a result? Answer: to the fact that our life will be more balanced, necessary, sufficient, but not excessive when later we do not know what to do with these excesses. We throw them away, and we produce them again, and we throw them away again, and we continue this endlessly. And the ordinary people pay for it. From CapTV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, July 1, 2021.